How to hear the voice of God. Between this morning's message and this evening's message, I think you'll find not everything you need to know about hearing the voice of God, but I think you'll be able to know how to hear the voice of God and hear it faithfully. I think you should be here. John 10. I think you should be here for both services. They're related and they're branching off one and the other. I want to say this. I probably the most common question I get asked, I would say if I get asked, but probably more than anything else, is how do you know the will of God or how do you hear the voice of God? And I hear people asking that, and I hear people preaching on it sometimes or saying, or even people in the ministry saying, I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know what God's telling me to do. I'm confused. And be honest with you, I hate to say this, but I don't struggle with hearing the voice of God. I don't struggle with that. I know what God wants me to do. I know where God wants me to be. And I think there's some principles here that teaches you how. And this morning we'll teach you mostly, and then tonight we'll teach you a principle to help you to not get confused. God is not the author of confusion, the Bible says. So if you're confused about what to do, it's not God confusing you. The devil is the author of confusion. God is not. And God is not trying to confuse you. Do you think God says, I want to trick them so they don't know my will, so they'll be really confused and disobey me? No, he wants you to be in his will, and he loves you. And I don't want my kids confused about what I instruct them to do. So I think God makes his will clear. He wants to speak to us. He has ways to speak to us. And we'll hit on some basic ones this morning. But I was saved as a teenager. And when I was saved, I was walking through the park where I used to go to pray in Oregon City, Oregon, at Hillendale Park. I was walking through the top of the park. And a couple of my friends, we had a great youth group, and a couple of my friends had been called to ministry. I didn't really have any aim and purpose in life. Didn't know what I was supposed to do. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? And God said, be a preacher, be a preacher. It's over and over in my head. And I was kind of shocked at that. If you knew me at the time, you would be surprised God called me. I had a can of Copenhagen in my back pocket and was a rough kid and had a lot of every bad kind of sin and baggage in my life. And I said, okay. Easy time when you're a teenager to submit to the will of God, by the way. When you get to be adults, you're a little harder and have too many things going that you don't want to just obey God quickly. I said, okay. And I've never wondered if I was called to preach since. By the time I was 17, I knew I was coming to Seattle. And I waited until God's timing, took several years in Bible college and getting married and everything else. But I've never wondered if I was called to Seattle. I wanted to go the whole time, by the way. I wanted to go to the mission field. I love the mission field. I'm just a mission field kind of guy. I wanted God to call me to the mission field, but I never wondered if God called me to the mission field, though my desire was to go there because I heard God's voice. Not because I'm so smart or so special. I just think God likes to make things clear, and if you will follow the principles that we'll preach today out of the Bible, you will find the voice of God. John 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not, the devil, but for to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. The wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. John 10, 13. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As a father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold, one shepherd. By the way, the other sheep that he's talking about are the Gentiles. The Jews were first, and then he said, there's another sheep, bunch of sheep are going to know my voice, and they're going to become one fold. God's chosen people, the Jews, and then the Gentiles will join them, which is us, and we become one fold in Christ. And then go down to verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of the sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man was able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. How to hear the voice of God? Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I pray that as we continue this how-to series, the second lesson, Lord, that you would guide our minds. You would, Lord, all the wrong thoughts about how to hear the voice of God and all the wrong doctrine and worldly thinking we have, Lord. I pray we'd be moved out of the way for the Word of God, and I pray that the Bible would speak to us, Lord, and I pray that we'd hear from you in your way, and I pray today that the Holy Spirit would be our guide and teacher. Lead and guide us into all truth. Help us, me, to say only what you once said and nothing more or less. And I pray that you'd speak to every individual heart. I pray if someone doesn't know you as Savior, that today they would come to know you as Savior. I pray if those who know you as Savior aren't hearing your voice, they would begin to understand how to do that and know the will of God for their life. Please, Lord, speak and do a great work during this time. In Jesus' name. Amen. How to hear the voice of God. Just going to give you the points. Jump right in. It's the how-to series we're into now. And this is how to hear the voice of God. First of all, how to hear the voice of God is to know him. Amen. It's to know him. Chapter 10, we can see just a couple verses here. Verse 14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. And have known of mine. Ancient flocks with sheep and shepherds. They were family things, and the family were shepherds, generation after generation. And your sheep, you would be there when they were delivered. You didn't take to the veterinarian. I mean, your family would deliver the sheep, and so you're there when little Daisy or whatever you name your lamb was born. You were there and helped pull it out of mama, and it was born. And when that whatever the lamb's name is dead, you were there and buried it. And they knew the sheep the whole life, and they lived those sheep. They named their sheep. They knew them by name, and they knew them very well. And the sheep knew the shepherd, whichever shepherd or group or family of shepherd had been on the size of the flock. Sometimes father and kids would move around with the shepherd and or with the sheep, and they would live that. The sheep would know their own shepherds very, very well, and the shepherd would know their sheep. And I look at lambs and sheep, and I say, I can't tell Dolly from Daisy, and they all look the same to me, but a shepherd can do that. A shepherd knows the difference. They know them very well, just like somebody has twins, and somebody else might not be able to tell them apart. Mom can, and dad can, because they know them very well. And Jesus says, I know my sheep, and God knows you. He knows your name. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows everything you live and think and everything else. Yet he says, my sheep know me. If I could have my phone ring today, even though it's off, like all of yours are off, right? And you go ahead and reach for it quickly. My phone might ring, and it might be my phone, but I bet you if your mom was on the other line, you would know it if I hand you the phone. You wouldn't have to ask who it was. You know their voice. In the nursery today, there's, 10, 15 kids in the nursery. Who knows? The baby's in there. You know, amazing thing. Moms, and I found out even dads, I know when it's my baby crying. Babies sound different. Now, if you don't have kids, you probably think it's just a kid screaming in there, wah! But you know their voice. A mom could be, you know, it's an amazing thing. A mom could be in the middle of a dead sleep, but her baby cries a little bit. They know the baby's crying. They know and it could be a crowd of kids, and they know their kids scream when they're saying, help, I'm hurt. Where all the moms would look, but one mom would know that's my child because they know that person so well. They know that voice so well. You don't have to look at your caller ID. If you listen to the voice and it's your best friend or your mom, you know their voice the second they talk. It sounds different. Your mom doesn't need to say, it's mom. Or your best friend doesn't need to say, it's your best friend. Or your child doesn't need to say, it's me. And phones vary, and it sounds a little different, but you still know their voice. And you know who's talking. You know that cry. You know that sound. You know when it's your child. Why? Because you know them. Very simple to hear the voice of God. He says, my sheep hear my voice. They know me. They know me. In the beginning of that, the first thing you need to do is, the first thing that you're going to need to know about God is you're going to need to know salvation. See, I didn't know the voice of God and didn't hear the voice of God until I received Jesus Christ. When I was just turning 16 years old, somebody told me how to get to heaven. They told me that I was a sinner and I needed a Savior. And that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. And I couldn't save myself, and religion and church and good deeds couldn't save me. I needed to rely on Jesus. That's why he died for me. I didn't hear the voice of God or know the voice of God before I received Jesus. And the first thing to know him is to receive him as Savior. You can grow up in church your whole life and never be saved and never receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you won't know the voice of God. You might be religious, you might live a good life, you might be moral, but you won't know the voice of God until you know him. And you can only know him through being born again and receiving Jesus Christ into your life as your personal Savior. And so you need to know God. But then it's not just a matter of being saved, you get to know him as a person. See, you receive him as Savior, but then you get to know him. And you get to know who he is. You know how he speaks. There's things that I will have come into my mind to do, but I can tell it's not the voice of God. Those sheep, I have heard that the ancient shepherds and sheep, they will only obey their shepherd's voice. And they're not smart animals. But if a different shepherd calls them and tells them what to do, they won't obey them. They only know to obey a certain voice. They know that voice so well that when that shepherd says, all right, let's go, sheep, come on, and calls them, they will obey that shepherd. But another shepherd can come and say the exact same thing, and they won't obey. I think I've heard the same thing is true with well-trained dogs. They only obey. I can have some attack dog coming, a pit bull about to attack me, and I can say heal, but it might not heal because it doesn't know my voice. But when you get to know the voice of God, it sounds different. Now, in my life, I have never had God audibly talk to me. I've never heard a physical voice out loud. Never. But I know that voice. And sometimes I have something tell me to do something, and it's not the voice of God. Many people who hear voices in their heads, and I think it's demonic a lot of times, by the way. People come to me all the time, say, Pastor, I have this problem. I hear voices in my head. I said, let me tell you about the voices. First of all, I tell you, they tell you to kill yourself. You're not worth anything, right? How do you know? See, because everybody hears voices outside in their head. They aren't usually telling them, go and be nice to your enemy. Christians who know the voice of God know what it's telling them, but I can just tell by what they're telling you. The voice of God only tells you certain things. For example, if I'm getting confused about the will of God, and other pastors will call me and say, I'm so confused. I think God wants me to leave this church and go do this thing, but I'm not sure. I said, it's not God. How do you know that? Because God's not the author of confusion. God leads by clarity and peace. Yes. The devil leads by confusion.
That's right.
Whenever you're feeling, I think I should leave this marriage. I think I should quit. I think I should go do this bad thing. Okay, first of all, God doesn't tell you to do bad things.
Amen.
There's a bunch of principles that God teaches you about the Bible. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit, the voice of God, will never lead you to go against the scriptures. If the Bible says one thing and the voice tells you to do something else, it's not God's voice.
Amen.
I know the voice of God. The voice of God is not going to lead me to confusion. The voice of God is going to lead me with clarity. The voice of God is not going to lead me to go against the Bible. God's telling me to go out and get revenge on this person. No, he's not. Well, you can't tell me that. Yeah, I can. 1 John 5:7-8. The Spirit, the water, and the Holy Spirit, the Word, and the Father, these three agree in one. You never hear the voice of God leading you against the Scripture. Okay, the Scripture always holds true. And God never is the author of confusion. And so we know that there are certain things are the voice of God. But even taking the Bible out of it for a second and saying it goes against the Scripture, the voice of God, you just get to know when God's talking to you. You know him. You get to know it better the more you hear it, unless you get hardened. We'll get that later. But to hear the voice of God, you got to know God. You get to know him. You get to be friends with him. You know your friend's voice. You know your mom and dad's voice. You're familiar with them. You know them. You know the voice of God because you know him. He's not a stranger talking to you. He's your best friend. You're around him all the time. You got to know the voice of God. The sheep hear his voice because they know him. And in verse 14, he says, and am known of mine. Verse 16, the other sheep which I have, which are not of this fold, them also will I bring, and they shall hear my voice. The voice of God is common for a Christian. You hear it and you know it. It's got a ring to it. And by the way, I want to understand this. The voice of God is not an audible voice most of the time. And most of the time, sometimes it was in the Bible. Most of the time, it wasn't. He's got the Holy Spirit inside of you to speak to you. But when you get that voice of God, it not only doesn't go against the Scriptures, it has a ring to it that sounds like the voice of God, but it isn't the same with everybody. God speaks to me in certain ways. I don't need an audible voice. Now, I've had people tell me I've heard God say something to me, and I don't have any reason to doubt them. I think God can do that if he needs to. I don't think he has to. But sometimes God will speak to you through counsel. So sometimes I'll be praying about something, and I just can't hear from God on something. I'll go seek counsel, and when they say something, I've had doctors who I don't even know if they're Christians, but God spoke to me through them, and God said what He's telling you is very important. You need to do this thing. And sometimes I've had people tell me things, and the Holy Spirit said, "Don't listen to that. That's not the will of God." But I know the voice of God, and when God speaks to me, I can't tell you exactly how God speaks to me, but it's very clear. And it's very, in my case, it's very still and small, as it was for Elisha, a still, small voice. But it has a different ring to it, and I know Him, and I know what God's talking to me. And it's the same voice that said, "Be a preacher," a long time ago, and it's the same voice who told me to go to Haiti in 2.5 weeks. And that, because I know God, and because you might know God, you say, I know who this is. It sounds different. The devil doesn't sound like God. Your flesh doesn't sound like God. Your imagination doesn't sound like God. God is a clear voice that leads with great peace and clarity. The voice of God does. You see, I don't hear that voice. Well, you'll understand that as you get to know Him. The shepherd, the new sheep might not know the shepherd's voice. The sheep who's run around and gone to, has not been with the shepherd at all, might not know the voice. But just keep listening to the voice and obeying it, and you'll stay with it, and you'll get to know that voice. You've got to know the shepherd, first of all, in order to hear from the Lord. Secondly, you got to follow that voice. That's very important. You got to follow that voice. Chapter 10, verse 16. He says, they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one sheep. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They follow me. Verse 24, some heard him right here, and they didn't follow him. It says, and they then came the Jews round about him and said to him, how long dost thou tell us or make us to doubt? If thou be Christ, tell us plainly. And he says, I did. Verse 25, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness to me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Some heard his voice, but chose not to follow. I don't believe in this voice. I'm not going to follow this voice. I'm not going to obey this voice. And I want to say this. It'll be in tonight's message a lot more, and I don't want to get ahead of myself. But can I say this? Eventually, the voice will quit speaking when you quit listening. I want you to understand this. I hate to say it. I wish this wasn't true. But new Christians hear the voice better of God than old Christians in most cases. New Christians all of a sudden, they know the will of God. God told me to go to this church, and God told me to do this, and God just spoke to me about doing this thing. And they're hearing from God. But then all of a sudden the voice says, I want you to do this. And they say, I don't want to do that. That's not where I want to go. That's not the field I want to go to. And the voice says, well, I'm going to this field over here, and I want you to follow me. Sheep, come along. And I'm going here and obey my voice. And this sheep says, I'm not going over there. I like it over here. And God leads you, and you don't obey when God leads you. Guess what? What's the voice sound like now when he's in the other field? It sounds pretty far away, doesn't it? See, if I keep telling somebody the same thing over and over, I'm going to quit telling them. Because they're not listening. And by the way, sometimes the voice of God is still speaking and you're not hearing. Sometimes you sound like, when you're talking to somebody because they don't care, you sound like the teacher on Charlie Brown. And they're not, they hear your voice, but they're not making it out. It's not clear. They're not listening. Why? Because their hearts, they're not listening. They're not following. A lot of people... I don't want to preach my message tonight. Some people hear the voice of God and do not believe and follow. If a shepherd is leaving and his voice, and he leaves and the shepherd does not follow, the voice gets more shallow and farther away. It's why sometimes the new Christians hear the voice of God more clearly, because they're still living in obedience and the voice is still something they're listening to, instead of hardening their heart like a child, a rebellious child. You're talking, but they're staring at something else and just not listening to you and spacing you out. Because when you don't want to hear the voice of God, and you begin to space it out because you don't want to feel the guilt and you're not following Him, and pretty soon you need God and you need to hear His voice. Say, God, speak to me. God says, you haven't been listening to me for a long time. My voice is distant from you. And you don't know how to hear the voice of God because your heart's not tender, because you've left the shepherd. You've not listened to the shepherd. The shepherd's given you instructions. And just like a rebellious child, just like somebody at work who doesn't listen to you, the same thing. They hear your voice, but they don't hear your voice. And you don't do that. a radio station. Many times I've been driving down the road and going on a road trip, and I'll be listening to the radio and something on the radio, but pretty soon it's getting fuzzier and fuzzier. You ever been listening to a game or something really interesting, and it gets fuzzier and fuzzier, and pretty soon you have the thing blaring, and it's mostly static, but you can barely hear the voice? Or then it's got two different programs going on, and you only hear one of them, and you're trying to listen, you're ignoring the other programs, you're getting farther and farther away. That's why many Christians do not hear the voice of God. They're too far from the radio antenna. They're not following that voice, and it's getting farther away. They've not obeyed the voice of God. And listen, can I tell you, when I'm far from God, I don't hear the voice of God clearly. Did you notice that I heard God's voice and called me to preach? You know where I was going at that time? To pray. I was going to prayer time. I find that the most often time God speaks to me is when I'm reading the Bible, when I'm praying. I'm in the presence of God or at church. The most common thing for me, I'm wired different. I'm an alone person. My most common times when God speaks to me is when I'm alone and when I'm praying or reading the Bible. Most often when I'm praying and I hear the voice of God. Probably 80% of the time I hear the voice of God and God tells me to do something, I'm praying. The most common thing among Christians, and it's just as great of a way, the most common thing among Christians, they hear the voice of God at church. You go to church, and God taps in your heart. Most people I know have been called to ministry, but called in church service. Most people who get saved, they will hear it at church service. They'll hear it when somebody witnesses them in person. Most people I know who make a big decision in life, decide to give up a sin, change their life, really are transformed, they hear from God at church. And that's very biblical. Jesus says, I walk in the midst of the churches, and he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says the churches. But it's in good places for reception. You go in a concrete block building, you won't hear very good the radio anymore or your cell phone because the reception's bad. And when you get out of the will of God, you're not in a good place of reception. You got to follow his voice. Stay close to the radio tower. The gods of the radio tower are programming that. The first voice you'll ever hear is salvation. The salvation call from God, and he says it in many ways in the Bible, to come to Jesus Christ, to be born again, to be saved, to receive Jesus Christ. But at the end of the Bible, he gives a great salvation call, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him to hear us say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. God is calling any of you, if you're not born again, if you are not saved, if heaven's not your home, you're not 100% sure to heaven, God is calling you right now, and he's saying, come to me, and I'll save you from your sin. I'll give you a home in heaven. It's a calling, and God's speaking to you. But you got to follow that voice. The voice may lead you, but if you don't follow it, listen, if you don't follow him at the first step of salvation, you will not hear the voice of God because he's not in you. And you didn't obey. He will call you, and he will lead you, but you got to follow that voice. Next, go to where that voice speaks. If you want to hear the voice of God, you got to know him. You got to follow that voice. And then third, you got to go to where the voice speaks. Just go places. First of all, the Bible. The Bible. If I read a Bible verse, I just heard the voice of God. It's that simple. It's not that spooky. Most of the speaking that God does is through the Bible. God says, pray without ceasing. God, lead me of how much I should pray without ceasing. But I need you to lead me. I just did. That's what Jesus said. Tell us. He said, I already told you. I'm the Messiah. But tell us another way. If the Bible says something, that's God's voice. Amen. He says that, and I'll read it here. This is 1 Peter 1:19, or verse 18. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, and no prophecy of the Scripture is any private interpretation, for the prophecy of old time came not by the will of man, but a holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It's called the Word of God. God gave you his Word. People want spooky leadings. They want the leadership of God in their life when the Bible says something. It's amazing. God already said something. What do you want? What do you want him to do more? He said it in the Bible. A lot of people say, well, we're living together. We're not married, but God spoke to us and said it's okay. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. He said already the will of God. If I write you a letter and I said, hey, I want you to go, and if I wrote one of my children a letter, I said, I want you to go and go pick up the front room. And they said, you know what? Dad wrote a letter and said, pick up the front room, but I'm waiting for his leadership. Oh, Dad, speak to me somehow. You don't need to. I already said what to do. God said that my word right here is the word of God. If it says it, that's the will of God. You've heard the voice of God. Now, the will of God is not every single thing in life is not covered. And that's where God needs to speak to you. But mostly, you get spoken to through the Bible. When the Bible says, thus saith the Lord, God just told you his will. You just heard his voice. Because that verse there said, when the voice came down from heaven and said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. It says, we have something more sure than the voice of God speaking audibly from heaven, the Bible. Amen. That's what that verse says. And you should do wise to take heed to what the Bible says. The Bible is the answer. The Bible is the will of God. God speaks through his word. Anything that goes against the Bible is not the voice of God. Everything the Bible says, you already know is the will of God, so he's spoken to you. You can just do what he says. The Bible says you must be born again. Well, God spoke to me differently. No, he didn't. He said what the Bible says. He's spoken to you and he wants you to be born again. I don't know if God loves me. He said he loved you. Well, I haven't heard him tell me that. Yes, you did. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The first of all, if you need to be aware that voice speaks, and that's the word, that's the Bible. Read your Bible. Study the Bible. Meditate in the Bible. Go to church where the Bible's preached. Hear the word of God. The word of God is the most common voice of God. And if you want to hear the voice of God, you'll know most of God's will through. Who should I marry? Okay. First of all, the Bible will pare that down a whole bunch. Bible tells you who not to marry. Gives you a whole bunch of leaderships. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So you got that. You got, okay, if they're not a believer, they don't follow Christ. Okay, then there's a whole bunch of, they have to be the opposite gender. Okay, got some leadership there. Okay, we got that. So we know God's will is not that. You got a whole bunch of things. But then God is not going to say, the Bible does not say, go date the cute blonde in the corner. God doesn't say that. Now you might need the voice of God. But a lot of it is already pared down by the Bible. The voice of God is the word of God. Secondly, where do you hear the voice of God? Where does that voice speak? Is in the local church. In the local church. God speaks in a church. And I'll just show you, I could show you a lot of Bible on this, but I'll just read it out of Revelation 2 and 3. It says it a whole bunch of times. And it says, Revelation 2, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verse 11, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verse 17, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verse 29, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I go on. He says, I'm speaking to the church. Very simply, folks, are you ready? God told me what to preach today. And the will of God, okay, I'm not perfect. I'm a sinful, fallen human. But God ordained that I'm the pastor of this church and I preach you the Bible. And then God said, preach on the voice of God and how to hear it. Because I'm going to speak a message and talk to people. Okay? Last week, God told me, I want you to preach on how to overcome. And that was the will of God. Guess what? If you weren't here last Sunday and you needed to overcome, it's a very common thing for me to have someone who missed church on Sunday call me during the week and ask me about a problem that I answered on Sunday. Very common. They'll say, oh, I don't know how to forgive this person. I preached on that on Sunday and they weren't there. And God had a message for them. I don't know how to, I'm a problem with my children. I don't know how to discipline my children. I taught in Sunday school this Sunday on how to discipline your children. Why? Because God has a message into the church. See, Christians are told to come to church. God gives a message. The message comes out, and God says, I'm speaking to you. That's why people say to me, Pastor, how'd you know? I was hiding in your closet all week. And you'll come to church, and you'll find out just what you're wondering about or just what you're struggling with. I preach on a Sunday. Because I have ESP? No. It's because the Lord knows. I have no idea. I have no idea. I just say, Lord says, preaching this. Okay, I'm preaching on that. Then I preach on it, and they say, you're talking about me. Maybe. I was preaching one time. I preached. I had a girl and a guy come together about 8 weeks in a row. And I preach on everything. I just preach on, I preach on love and prayer and Bible reading and witnessing and, you know, whatever. I would just preach regular messages. It's just a random all, whatever God wants me to preach, I just preach on. And I preach in everything. And at the end, this girl can't even sit down. And she says, you know, it's really embarrassing when you're preaching on just us two every single service. I said, "You said I was preaching on you?" I said, "I didn't even think of you a single time when I prepared these messages." I said, "I think somebody was talking to you, but it wasn't me." But Jack Scott told about one time he got up and he preached a message on prayer. And afterward, a kid stomped up to him and said, "You're just like my preacher. Every single time he preaches on giving up your rock music, giving up your bad music, giving up your bad music, you're just like my preacher." Brother Scott says, "Son, what did I preach on tonight?" "Bad music." He looks at the pastor, and the pastor says, "He says the same thing to me every week, too." And he says, "Son, I preached on prayer tonight. I didn't mention music, but God's talking to you. And you better go with your music, because God's going to get real mad if you keep on fighting like this." See, the voice of God is in church. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." I have a message for the churches. You listen to it, because I'm speaking. A whole bunch of books, 1 Corinthians, Revelation, were written to a church and said, "Read it in the church." And everybody in the church, listen to what the Bible says. God has a message for you in church. He has that. That's why I need to be in church whenever you can be, because the Lord speaks. And he does that. And there's a lot of verses on that, and we can't go into all of that. Somebody says, I need God to lead me if I should forgive this person. Okay, he did. Yes. He spoke to you. Yes. It's in the Bible. You will hear him speaking to you this morning. The voice of God will talk to you this morning. You say, "Pastor, I have a real problem. I've got this thing in my life that's just sin, and I can't give it up, and God keeps touching my heart when I'm in church." That's why you're in church. By the way, get myself in trouble here for a minute. That's why everybody likes these preachers who don't preach on anything, and nobody feels bad, and they say, "I like that. It's encouraging." So all I do is talk about good things and make me feel good about myself. I leave that church, I feel good about myself. When I go to good church service, I feel like a sinner. I feel like I need to get right with God. God spoke to me, said, "Hey, buddy, fix this thing." Sometimes he says, "Hey, I'm encouraging you. I'm lifting your spirit," sometimes. But I'm not so afraid of getting right with God and getting fixing myself that I mind it. Hey, I went down to that altar at that conference a lot of times. Said, "Keep on speaking, Lord. I'm listening. If I got something wrong, I want to know about it." And those people said, "I don't have cancer. I don't have cancer. I don't have cancer. Don't tell me that, doctor. You still have cancer." So you want to be where God speaks to you and you hear the truth. And so you want to hear the voice of God by being where he speaks. Next, when you want to hear the voice, so go to church a lot. Go to church a lot, you hear the voice of God a lot. He'll speak to you. And by the way, it's not spookier than that. You had a problem this week and you robbed banks. And pastor Brown preached on you shouldn't be robbing banks. You say, "Oh, how did he know? He must have been in the bank. I was. And you didn't tithe on it." And the voice of God says, and all of a sudden, I preach in robbing banks. And you say, "Oh man, I shouldn't have robbed that bank." Then you say, "Lord, thank you for speaking to me. I'm listening." And you hear the voice of God and you respond to it. You do what he says. When you hear his voice, number four, when you hear his voice. That's where we're going for the last point. When you hear his voice. Revelation chapter 2. And we just read all these verses, but it said two things. He says, first of all, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." He that hath an ear, let him hear. Seven times. Jesus said that when he walked around on earth in the Gospels. "He that hath an ear, let him hear." It's a funny statement to make. But some people have ears to hear. See, remember that I just said the doctor said you have cancer, and you say, no. Because you don't want to hear. Talked to a young man, and I was with him, and he was a kid who was I was coming back from college, and he was in the youth group. We were riding around together, and he kept asking me questions about how'd you know when you're called to preach, and how'd you know this, and kept asking about questions. And the Holy Spirit said to me, "He's called to ministry." And he kept beating around the bush, asking all the kinds of questions, and he didn't want to ask me about directly these things. Finally, I looked at him, I said, "God's called you to ministry, hasn't he?" And he just teared up. He said, "Yes. How'd you know that?" I said, "The Lord told me." I said, "Why don't you just face it and quit asking all these questions and trying to find a way out of it?" That young man, I went back to college. He went down to the front of the church, said, "God's called me to ministry." And I was at the church, came back next summer. How's your ministry training going? And he says, well, I'm not sure that God wanted me to do that. I said, you think God changed his mind that quickly? The gifts and callings of God without repentance, the Bible says. I said, why don't you want to go into ministry? Well, I've got this, I'm really good at this, and I got this career planned, and I think God wouldn't have led me not to do my career that I really wanted to do. And I said, you know God's speaking, but you're not listening. You're not listening. By the way, that young man, I still talk to him once in a long while. His life's a wreck. Never has surrendered to God's will. And God's still calling him. And you got to hear. Harden your heart makes you not hear anymore. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto churches. But you got to have the ear to hear. I've heard that that's the most common phrase Jesus ever said is, he that hath an ear, let him hear. The Jews and the Pharisees were sitting around Jesus hearing the same message as the 5,000. But they didn't have ears to hear. They heard the same words, though. When you don't want to hear the words of God, we don't want to hear God, the leadership of God, you get angry, you demonize the messenger, and all of a sudden, by the way, can I say this? If you say, I don't like what you're saying, and you demonize me, I don't mind you demonizing me, that's all fine, but you better be able to show me in the Bible where I'm wrong. And you're going to have a hard time doing that. And if you show me I'm wrong, I'll change it, but I'm preaching Bible messages and using a whole bunch of scripture. And if all of a sudden you want to find a reason to make me bad, even if I am bad, the message didn't change. It's still true. The Bible still says what it says, even if I was bad, and I'm not, I'm wonderful. And Hebrews 3, verse 7, I'm not. Verse 7, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Verse 15, while it is said, today if you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. Harden your hearts makes you not hear the voice of God anymore. God keeps speaking to you about this thing in your life. You need to pray. And you say, I know. Anyway, I'm busy. You need to pray. I'm too busy to pray. You need to pray. You say, I don't hear that anymore. All of a sudden, you don't hear it anymore. Because your heart's hardened. Your ears have closed. And you're just not going to pray. God speaks about going to church. God speaks about witnessing. God tells you about loving somebody. God speaks to you about reading your Bible every day. God speaks to you about getting that immorality into your life. God speaks to you about whatever it is, and you harden your heart, and all of a sudden you demonize the messenger, or you say, you know what? God's not unreasonable. God wouldn't want me to do what I don't like to do. He crucified himself. And you justify all these things, and your heart gets hard. And all of a sudden, you say, I don't hear God's voice anymore. Then God says, I'm going to get you to seek my voice again. You need to hear it. Here's a circumstance. You say, Pastor, I got laid off, and I can't figure out where God wants me to work. I haven't seen you at church in a while. I won't say that. But I'll say, boy, you look really confused. I am so confused. But I don't know. They say I can either do surgery or not do surgery. I just don't know what to do, and God's not speaking to me. Yeah, you want the convenient God that just appears and speaks to you whenever you want to hear him. When you don't want to hear him, he just disappears. And God brings circumstance where he says, you need to hear my voice. Get back to listening. And it's not fun. It's better to keep an open ear than have to go run after the shepherd and try to figure out where he is, because the wolves are chasing you. You're in trouble now. And you harden not your heart. And then he says, today, if you hear his voice. The best way to always be able to hear the voice of God is God said, do this. And you say, yes, Lord. And you go do it. Don't think about it. Don't delay. Don't take a month. Don't wait till the next service. Don't say, I'm going to go home and think about it. You say, he's going to this field. He says, let's go. Let's go. Because you might be saying that because the wolf's behind you. See, God loves you. He doesn't want to do bad things. He wants you to hear his voice because he wants to lead you. Remember Psalms 23? He leads me beside the still waters. The voice of God is good. He loves you. He wants to lead you to good places, but you've got to obey that voice. And if you don't obey it, your heart gets hard. And then pretty soon, you're saying, well, I was a new Christian. I used to always hear God speaking to me, and God was talking to me and leading me. But then you quit listening, and you hardened your heart, and you didn't obey his voice when he talked to you, and now you're saying, I don't hear the voice of God like I used to. And many of the old Christians who don't hear the voice of God, and they don't even feel convicted when they sin anymore because their heart's gotten hard. I hope I never come to that point where I'm not the new Christian tender and new Christian listening to God. I hope I can always hear the voice of God. Hey, listen, one of my kids got pretty bad injured. And I said, Lord, which hospital? I live where I can go to four different ones.
I know that's right.
And you know what? I prayed about it, and just the right people were at the hospital. See, the voice of God can lead you to all kinds of things. I had a call a few weeks ago from the man I've been praying from, Brother Layson. He was asking my advice on things. And I, to be honest with you, I just couldn't give him an answer. And I said, Brother Layson, to be honest with you, I don't know what's best for you to do. And it popped in, and the voice of God said, tell him this. And I said, Brother Layson, have you ever talked to Brother Cox? No, I don't know who that is. I said, I'm going to give you his number. I said, he'll help you. Met Brother Cox at the conference this week. He says, you know, thanks for sending Brother Layson to me. I didn't know who he was, but you know what? We got everything fixed. I couldn't believe it. It was like a hot knife through butter, all of his problems. He was weird. I said, you know what, Brother Cox? He called me for advice, and God was saying, you don't have the answers for this one. He needs to talk to so-and-so as the person to help him. You need the voice of God a lot. And the voice of God says, do this. You need to be able to say, I hear that. I'm going to do it. But you get that because you obey that voice. You have ears to hear. You don't harden your heart, and you instantly obey. Lastly, I want to say, if you want to hear the voice of God this morning, please him. Please him. Let me take you back to Matthew. Please God. Matthew chapter 3. The voice of God literally came out of heaven several times in Jesus' life. And those times were very specific times. Matthew chapter 3, Jesus gets baptized, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest out of me. And Jesus answered, said, suffer to be now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And he suffered him. And when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What did the voice say? I'm pleased with you. I know in my own personal life, when I'm not pleasing God, I don't hear the voice of God much. Do you want to talk to people much who are disobeying you and fighting against you? But the voice of God said, this is my beloved Son. When I'm praying, when I'm fasting, when I'm doing the will of God, when I'm busy doing God's will, when he's speaking and I'm saying, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. As Samuel was instructed to say when the voice of God was coming and Samuel didn't know that voice. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And the voice of God came to him. He was pleasing God. And when I, as a young man, said, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? God said, that pleases me. You care about that and you're asking me. And he spoke to me. I want to say this. God speaks to you when you're pleasing him. And when you're not pleasing him, you don't hear his voice nearly so much. Israel, when they were disobeying God, it says there is no open vision in Israel. Nobody was hearing the voice of God. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. There is no open vision. That means God was not speaking through prophets. He was not speaking the word of God. God was not speaking to Israel because they weren't pleasing him. Hannah prayed, Samuel was born, and God started speaking again because he started pleasing him again. See, when you don't please God, God's not going to talk to you much. It might be because your heart's hard and your ears are closed, but it might be because God just says, you know what, I'm frustrated. I'm tired of talking and you not listening. Get back the thing I told you it's 3 steps ago. And God says, I'm not talking right now. And tonight we'll talk about that when God does that. From salvation, when God called me to be saved and asked me and spoke to my heart, and I said, yes, Lord. And that's God's leading for you to be saved. And then him called me to the ministry, and then him called me to be married, and called me to go to the Bible college I went to, and God called me to Seattle as a young man, and all the times that God spoke to me, and last night, God finalizing this message, saying, preach on this and do these points. I'm so glad that I'm able to hear the voice of God. Amen. But sometimes when I mess up and I'm not close to God, I'm saying, what am I supposed to preach, Lord? I can't find anything. And sometimes to God, when I'm close to God, he says, preach on this. And then I hear the voice of God. The voice of God is not distant. It's not trying to confuse you. It might be still and small. And in order to hear that voice, sometimes you have to be a little quieter. Mm-hmm. Turn off your radio, turn off your TV, and read your Bible, and meditate, and pray, and get around God. Listen a little bit. But the voice of God is not hard. The voice of God is not trying to confuse you. The voice of God is not trying to make it so you don't know his will. God loves you. He wants to lead you. He wants to speak to you. But the question is, do you know him? Do you know that voice? Do you follow that voice? Do you go where that voice speaks? Do you, when you hear the voice, do you really hear the voice? And do you please him? I think if you follow those steps right there, the voice of God will begin talking to you again. And you know what a wonderful thing in life is, and I tell you, most wonderful thing in life is when you go, and everywhere you are, God says, do this. And you know the will of God. Whenever you need it, the voice of God speaks. And I go to where I go and do what I do with the voice of God leading me, and he leads me beside the still waters. The leading of God is wonderful. It's safe. But everybody doesn't hear it because their hearts aren't listening. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we would hear your voice, Lord, as we're learning how to hear the voice of God. I pray today that, Lord, you spoke to people in the way they needed to speak into. Now, Lord, I preach what I believe is your message, and we read the word of God. But, Lord, you specifically, individually, have to speak to people, and they have to hear your voice, and they have to not get hardened. And, Lord, I pray today that every single person would be an obedient sheep that hears my voice and follows me, as your word says. And I pray that you'd be able to say that about us. They hear my voice, and they follow me. That we would go and obey you and not wonder why you're not talking when you've left to another field and we stayed in the wrong field because we're not close. I pray today, Father, we would hear the voice of God and that our tradition that we've always thought or our favorite thing to do or what we really have as an agenda would not stop us when you lead us and speak to us, that we would say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth, and we would hear your voice as Samuel did very clearly, even though Eli didn't. Please, Lord, help us to hear the voice of God. We pray everybody here would be in submission to that voice and would follow in Jesus' name.